don't know if it was a wave election. It was a pretty big night for Republicans as they win control of the Senate. And here with a reaction to that, a little analysis. And also, he's going to talk about his new book, The Undocumented, Mark Stein. Don't say you weren't warned. Mark Stein is my guest this afternoon on KMOX. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark.
I feel like I know you because so often I'm coming on immediately after your show when you are here for Rush.
Yeah, I know. It's slightly weird to me because I look at that as like a hobby. I come down from the mountains and do a little light guest hosting for Rush for 3 hours every 6 weeks, and it has brought me an entirely undeserved level of appreciation across this great country, and I'm very grateful to it when I'm in when I go all over the place and people say, "Oh yeah, I listened to you on Rush," and I'm honored to do that.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool gig. But you know, long before I heard you filling in for Rush, I would read your columns. So I think that you're a writer at your core, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm a writer who likes to get out of the house occasionally. So I've made a couple of Christmas singles, but I'm not sure Billboard magazine would quite accept me if I were to promote myself as a popular vocalist. And likewise, I do a little bit of light radio work, which I love, and it's great to guest host America's number one show. But the rest of the time, I'm sitting at the back of the cave writing, which is like my core activity.
I'll talk about the book here in a couple of minutes. What's your reaction to what happened last night on Election Day?
Well, I'm happy, except for my own state, where Scott Brown lost narrowly to Gene Shaheen, because to paraphrase the results very roughly, there's now like 49 red states in America, plus blue New Hampshire and the District of Columbia. I'm not sure what happened to New Hampshire. I think the candidate not really being a Granite State, it was a bit of a problem, and I regret that. It's also the fact that it attracted national attention. The Democrats poured tons of resources into saving that one seat, even as all the other races that were particularly close turned out to be big GOP wallopings. So it was a great night for the Republican Party, but I rather regret that that my own state provided the Democrats with their only consolation of the night.
What do you think the real possibilities are? Let's talk about the Senate and control of the Senate by the Republicans, because my sense, I talked to a voter, actually, a friend of mine in New Hampshire today, and one of the things that he said was, you know, I felt kind of repulsed when I went into the voting booth. It wasn't one of those things that he was excited about some of the candidates. I think we feel that here in Missouri as well. And although there was a repudiation of the Obama administration's policies and people are looking for a change in this country, it's now incumbent upon Republicans to actually do something, isn't it?
Yes, because it's not 2010. 2010 was one of those. I said this to Rush actually the other day. I said the if you've been through elections that made a difference, you know, in 1980 Reagan's victory made a difference because otherwise the Soviets would have won the Cold War. In 1979, Mrs. Thatcher's victory made a difference because otherwise one of the oldest nation states on the planet would actually have gone belly up. I said to Rush that the worst thing is when you have a big electoral victory and it doesn't matter and nothing changes, and that's what happened in 2010. It was a great enthusiastic turnout, and the voters got nothing to show for that except being audited by Lois Lerner. And I hope this time round that we do get some serious change that's moving the meter. Because I don't believe this talk about, you know, that it's an old, white, unrepresentative electorate and all the rest of it. I think the problem is the Democrats got a lot of their people turned out, but the problem was when those people got to the polls, they were no more enthusiastic for what Obama's done to this country than all the supposedly old, white, angry white men were. And I think that's going to be a problem for them in 2016. On this kind of turnout, in this kind of environment, Hillary Clinton is not going to be the solution to the Democrats' problems.
I think you're right about that, but do the Republicans have an answer? I hate to jump ahead so quickly because people are sick and tired of the election ads. We've been bombarded here in the St. Louis area, but obviously now the focus immediately jumps to the Republican candidates. You got a guy like Scott Walker up in my former state of Wisconsin who won pretty big last night against Mary Burke. He's being talked about as a Republican hopeful. You have Rand Paul. You have some of these other candidates out there, Chris Christie. So how does that all shake out? How would you handicap that right now?
Well, look, I understand why your listeners are annoyed by it, because a horse race, when people talk about politics as a horse race, it isn't a horse race. I mean, a beautiful horse race is a thing of elegance and grace to watch. And when you see some thoroughbred cross the finish line, it's a thing of beauty in itself. When you see, you know, Gene Shaheen cross the finish line, it's not a thing of grace and beauty and elegance. It's just some political machine politics. So I loathe the whole kind of horse race element, because it's not like supporting your favorite, putting money on your favorite nag or supporting your favorite football team or whatever. These are supposed to be vehicles for ideas about governing. And so what matters is whether the Republicans will coalesce around a candidate who is prepared to move the meter on where our public discourse should be, on the size of government, on the role of government, on America's role abroad, on all, and actually on basic competence. Because the thing about Obama is he was sold to us as somebody who was cool. I don't think you can be cool and incompetent. And the fact of the matter is, this guy looks a lot less cool when Ebola is in Dallas hospitals and people are chopping the heads off American citizens in the middle of the Syrian desert. Obama's cool couldn't survive contact with reality. So for 2016, the issue is competence. And Hillary Clinton is tainted by her part in the Obama administration. Benghazi doesn't say anything about competence. And for the rest of the time, she just stacked up air miles and flew to no purpose. And if you take her tenure as Secretary of State out, what you've just got is some tired figure from the 1990s that sort of sad ladies of a certain age who listen to NPR get all excited about, but nobody else does. So I think the issue is, I think you want a can-do executive or someone who shows he's willing to move the meter on where the discussion needs to be. And there's no shortage of can-do executives in the governor's mansions. If it has to be a senator, you know, I like the way Ted Cruz doesn't cede the ground and the framing to the Democrats.
Mark Stein is my guest this afternoon. You hear him all the time filling in for Rush. He's got a brand new book out called The Undocumented Mark Stein. Don't say you weren't warned. I know you address many of these issues, and you do it with that Mark Stein flair, and there's a lot of humor in this book. And I'm guessing that one of the topics, and you've briefly touched on it here, is the framing of the debates in this country. I've always felt like Republicans have a bit of a marketing issue, and the Democrats win when it comes to, and we let them win on some of these big issues.
Yeah, I think we basically allow ourselves, conservatives allow themselves to be, and certainly the Republicans allow themselves to be painted into a corner and always fighting on the Democrats' terms. So that if you think this country should have border security like every functioning nation state does, you're a racist and it means you hate Hispanics. I think we have to take part back a lot of the language. I mean, including the word liberal. There's nothing liberal about latter-day American liberalism. It wants to control every aspect of your life. And the only thing it isn't interested in is sexual liberty. You can get it on with anything that moves and a lot of stuff that doesn't move, and they're relaxed about that. You're a guy and you identify as a woman and you want to go and use the female locker room at the health club, the Democratic Party says, fine, that's your right. But other than sexual liberty, there's nothing liberal about American liberalism. It wants to control and regulate every aspect of everything you do. They're control freaks, and they shouldn't be allowed to hijack the language for what is essentially a totalitarian project.
It's the nanny state nonsense. And we see, you know, one of the things I like about my state here in Missouri is we seem to reject these nanny state ideas a lot more than, for example, Illinois and certainly states like California. But it always amazes me because people, I don't think people really think some of these issues through. And maybe there's been an awakening of some of that, given the IRS scandal and some of the other things that have happened in the past couple of years, to think, wait a second, some of this stuff is just crazy and we've let it go too far.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the IRS is a really big thing. And I hope, for now, that one thing that comes out of Republican control of both houses is that the IRS will be held accountable. These are people who have been put in charge of health care. You know, I've been opposed to government health care in Canada and the United Kingdom and actually even in Bulgaria, where I was, broke my leg once and was on the receiving end of communist health care. And what I will say to all those situations is that as crazy as they were, they never thought of putting the Revenue Collection Agency in charge of determining whether your arrangements for your health care meet the approval of the state. It took Obama to do that. So we put the most intimate private details about every individual and entrusted them to the likes of Lois Lerner, who have already decided that their allegiance lies with the party rather than the nation. And I hope that if unless that agency cleans itself up, that the Senate and the House will use the power of the purse and say, well, if you want to work for the Democratic Party rather than for the United States of America, they can be the ones who put you on the payroll and pick up your tab at the end of every month. And I hope they get serious, because Obama is in going to govern, I believe, in a post-constitutional way in which he'll just do one-man immigration plans, one-man health care plans, and what we've seen in the last couple of years, he'll be doing on steroids for the next couple of years.
Well, that would certainly fit the pattern, unfortunately. Mark Stein, the book is called The Undocumented Mark Stein, and it's awesome having you here on KMOX again, I guess I should say, because you're on here all the time.
Yeah, look forward to infesting the airwaves with my sinister foreign tones again very soon, Mark.
All right, thanks, Mark.
Thanks a lot.